And today's scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles in the pews, it can be found in the New Testament on page 103. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because the hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. Amen.
I ask you to join me now in a few moments of silent prayer. Good Shepherd, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, Lord, our rock, our redeemer. Amen. Here in this passage, we have Jesus teaching us about sheep and the good shepherd. It's talking, of course, about the relationship between the good shepherd and the sheep. It's an encouraging passage. A passage about the love that God has for us and the trust that we can place in our Lord. But in the big picture, it's kind of a strange passage, considering a couple of things, especially in where it shows up in John's telling of the gospel story and in this season when it shows up in the church. During this season of Eastertide in the church, running from early Easter Sunday morning to Pentecost Sunday and 7 weeks later, we celebrate the new reality created by the resurrection of Jesus. We know new and abundant life, surprising life, even though we also know that we're still dealing with the realities and the struggles and the disappointments of daily life. The same old, same old. And here in this passage, we have Jesus teaching us about this intimate, close love as a shepherd to his sheep, including even sheep that we don't know about, he says, from another flock. That's an interesting phrase, something to think about when we encounter people who aren't quite like us. Maybe they have a relationship to the shepherd that we don't know about. Something to consider. Jesus is teaching in the Gospel of John here, anticipating the crucifixion. Not post-resurrection, of course. This is the Gospels before the Passion narrative. This passage is part of Jesus' final set of teachings to his disciples leading up to Maundy Thursday with the Last Supper and washing the disciples' feet and Crucifixion Friday. Jesus is teaching us about his love as a good shepherd leader just days before he will be taken up on the cross, no longer physically available to them as their leader. Something interesting is going on in this passage about sheep and shepherds. And I've got to admit, I've never been very comfortable talking about sheep and shepherds, probably because I haven't ever been a shepherd or hung around a whole lot of sheep. I'm not real familiar with that world. But maybe there's something more than that going on in my discomfort. I think some of you, I know one in particular, have had the good fortune of attending our ABC of Wisconsin camp at Camp Tamarack. It's such a beautiful place. And I've been lucky enough to be camp pastor for a few years, a few camps. I really enjoy my time at camp with the kids, learning, playing, eating, and singing during worship and during campfire worship times and prayer times. There's lots of fun camp songs that we sing together. Some of them are quiet and worshipful choruses, which are really nice at the campfire when we're trying to get the little ones to calm down a little bit, be ready for bed. And there are some others that are very lively and fun and rowdy and catchy. My daughters have gone with me the last few years to camp, and for 2 or 3 or 4 or 5 weeks afterwards, they'll be singing the camp songs when we're back at home. They are fun and infectious songs. But I have to admit, as someone who's trained in theology and does a lot of thinking about those things, I have to admit that one of my character flaws is that I can be a little critical of worship music sometimes. I've often find myself questioning the thinking and the theology of some of the lyrics of the camp songs, especially when they start emphasizing the blood of the lamb and some other things, and I want to kind of dig into it, but that's not the place of the time. It's just not. I can be a little too sensitive to the lyrics of some of our songs. And there's this one camp song that my kids often are singing again and again and again after camp. And it's fun and it's catchy, but there's something about it that kind of bugged me. And I'm still trying to figure out why it bugs me. And it happens to be, "I just want to be a sheep." And the chorus goes like this: "I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba. And praise the Lord my soul to keep. I just want to be a sheep, ba, 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 ba." You can see it's very catchy, right? You want to keep going along. Well, there's something in my spirit that was a little annoyed or bugged. That's maybe strong language, but there's something about it that just kind of struck me. I just want to be a sheep. That doesn't quite feel right or sound right. And as I reflect further, I've come to realize that maybe my sort of discomfort or annoyance at the song might not be because of its theology. My annoyance could be because of my attitude, my pride, my attitude that has been shaped by the world's thinking. I find myself thinking, "I don't want to be a sheep." Sheep have no sense of direction. They often wander off from the flock, and they always need a shepherd to keep them in line. Sheep are defenseless. Has anybody ever been afraid of a sheep? Does a sheep growl? No. Does a sheep have quills like a porcupine to defend themselves? No. They don't show their teeth. Sheep are not the cool animals out there in the world. Did you know that sheep can't get up on their own? They need help to stand up if they fall over on their back. They're kind of like cockroaches in that respect. So they're pretty much helpless against predators. And they're not work animals either. They don't carry burdens around like a mule, so they can't be a whole lot of help around the farm. I know at least that much about sheep. And let's all be honest. The picture of a sheep is not one of profound intellect, you know. They don't seem to be very smart. Why would I want to be a sheep? I want to be a mover, a shaker. I want to make a difference in this world. This song is just not ambitious enough. That's kind of the lingering attitude, I guess. We were made to be more than sheep. I want to be strong and do stuff and valuable and helpful and as I hear myself saying this and as you hear me saying this, I hope that we all realize how different that attitude is from the gospel of Jesus Christ. How dependent that attitude is on the thinking of our hyper-competitive, hyper-masculine, hyper-do-it-all, hyper-hyper-hyper culture. It's the kind of thinking that doesn't recognize the fullness of gospel living. That thinking always disrespects the sheep. One of the most common and profound metaphors used in the Bible, it's the one that Jesus used to teach us about his relationship to his beloved children. So I'd like us to consider the humble sheep and why the sheep is something that we can and should appreciate in the way that Jesus speaks in this passage. It helps us recognize the profound value we have in God's eyes. It's not about what I want to do and want to be. It's about who I am to God. Because we humans, now that I think about it, are a lot like sheep. Like sheep, we sometimes don't have a great sense of direction on our own. We lose our way without steady contact with our shepherd. I know that I have failed. I have failed myself. I have failed my God. I have failed my relationship. Many, many ways. I've hurt people. I've hurt myself. But somehow, some way, God still loves me and seeks me out. That's about God. That's not about me. Like sheep, we humans aren't naturally strong, though I know a lot of human beings you might be thinking of right now could be threatening to you. But in truth, we're not king of the jungle. Most of us are kind of humble and silly when it gets down to it. Yesterday, we had my daughter's small family birthday party, a little bit larger than I usually appreciate, but it was a good group of people. We had a party at a restaurant. And I spent more than half of the time there acting like a complete idiot because I was playing with her two little toddler cousins, just enjoying it, being silly, having fun. Beautiful, human, but definitely not menacing in the King of the Jungle. Like sheep, we often don't pull our share of the load, even when we want to. We often come up short. I want to be productive and a mover and a shaker and have the good fortune sometimes to be active, but that desire is a whole lot more pride than it is recognition of who and whose I am. I do my best, I try, but I so often find myself wandering about aimless. What was I doing again? Or what was I trying to avoid doing at home again? When Jesus compares us to sheep, we have to acknowledge how simple and small and humble we are. At our core, we are not scary and powerful or brilliant. We are stumbling, often wandering, sometimes clueless, and even occasionally a little stinky like sheep. But God still loves us. The most important thing to know as we think about ourselves as sheep is that we, you, me, we are loved beyond measure. We are valued. We are so valuable and precious to God. We are the sheep of Jesus' flock. We know that we are the sheep mentioned in this passage. That's not hard to interpret. Jesus makes it pretty clear. We know, as Jesus tells us, that he is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. So we know, as it says in the passage, that we are loved beyond measure. So, I guess I'm okay with being a sheep. I'm just not sure I want to be a sheep. The most sacred moments in my life, when I felt closest to God, they were not when I was strong and scary and useful and powerful. They were when I was weak and felt sorry or wounded, but still loved by God. As sheep, we are loved beyond measure. So, my discomfort about this Camp Tamarack song is probably a little misplaced. It could be that I'm rebelling against the humility required of me to recognize that I am sheep. Sheep are loved beyond measure, so it's a good thing to be a sheep, to know you are loved by the Good Shepherd. And maybe when I am in a little bit better space spiritually and not so prideful quite so much, maybe my little theological irritation comes not so much with the sheep part of the song as the I just want to be part of the song. On some level, that's my call to humility. I can't want to be a sheep beloved by God. I just am. I can't earn it. I can't earn my status as God's child. I just know that I am God's beloved child. I am a sheep. That metaphor that Jesus gives us of sheep and good shepherd, it works on me because it recognizes a few things. Number one and most important is how valued I am in God's eyes, how beloved I am, how important the good shepherd is in my life. First and foremost, that has to be acknowledged. But the second thing it recognizes is how important I am in my life because of how much the Good Shepherd loves me. It's okay to be compared to a sheep because of how valuable the sheep is to the shepherd. And I hope that you, every one of you, know, don't want it, but know how precious you are to God. That you are the sheep of the good shepherd. I think that this passage from Jesus is challenging us, especially today, because we don't like to think of ourselves as sheep. But on some level, we just are. We are loved. We are loved beyond measure. And the funny thing is, I think that Jesus gave us this passage, this metaphor, to make us wrestle with that humility of being a sheep. Maybe he also gave this passage to us to humble us. But there might also be kind of another reason why this passage shows up here and is read now in our church season. Jesus might be giving us this passage as yet another example, lesson about how to be good shepherds to each other. When the Johannine community, the people from whom this passage emerged and who embraced it as scripture, when they saved and read this story from Jesus, they decided to keep it because it was important. It affirmed that Jesus is the Good Shepherd. They knew the love of God through the Good Shepherd who laid down his life for the sheep. They read this, of course, after the crucifixion and the resurrection. They read this after Jesus had been taken up on a cross. And in affirming that Jesus was the Good Shepherd, they weren't only making a Christological affirmation. That is, they weren't only saying who they thought Jesus was, the Son of God. They were also affirming the kind of leadership that was expected in their community. Jesus is not only our good shepherd. As we go about our lives in the shadow of Easter, he is our model for how to care for one another and how to care for others from other flocks. As beloved sheep, valued beyond measure, we are challenged to grow in the path of the Good Shepherd, to love the sheep, to care for one another, even as silly and humble and absent-minded as we might be. Loving other sheep, caring, laying down our lives. Why do we do this? Why do we step into that role for one another? Because we're God's sheep. We're challenged to be like Jesus, to love as he first loves us, because we know what it means to be loved. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. All people need to know what it means to be loved like that. Even if they're silly or wandering around or stinky, we are called to love because we know we are loved. So today, in this space, I invite you to dwell in the knowledge that you are loved beyond measure. Sit here quietly in this space. Recognize your value. You are loved by God. Receive the inspiration, the energy that you need to go out from this place into this hyper-competitive, hyper-masculine, hyper-active, hyper-hyper world, to go out and to show love, the good shepherd's love, to all his hard-to-love sheep. I'm a sheep.